So real quick here, turns out Chip the Surgeon did take a swing at Kyle Huppy. So that $20 gift card to Hen House is gone, but I got another one. Come in here. You don't actually have to take a swing at Kyle. Chip was such a – he's like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, I'll give you $20 to Hen House. Just take a swing. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So Chip the Surgeon – too nice a guy, gave it to him anyway, but I got another one. So come on down here if you want to go check out the Golden Gloves. We got tickets to the Golden Gloves coming up tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday down at the Historic Memorial Hall. Full concession stands. You can get a couple of buddies together, go have a few beers. Watch great boxing. It is the 2017 defending national championship Golden Gloves team is Kansas City. First time in the history that they have won it, and they'll be honoring them on Saturday. And a lot of great boxers going to be down there. Marcus Davidson, currently ranked number 2 in the nation. He'll defend his Kansas City title. Olympic athlete. Also, KMF Awesome is going to be defending his Golden Gloves title, 2-time Olympic trials champion and 17 national Golden Gloves champion. He will be there. And also the national Golden Gloves runner-up, 17-year-old Jorge Carlos, will be defending his KC title as well. Great boxing, great atmosphere, and a great building. We'll give you tickets to it from here at the Hen House. And, of course, everything you need for lunch. Like I said, come down and take a fake swing at Kyle. I'll give you $20. Your lunch is covered by us here at the program, here at the wonderful Delicatessen Salad Bar and Mongolian Grill, and great Starbucks as well. Thanks to the folks at Starbucks. Have been hooking me up with my herbal tea to try to soothe my voice as we are broadcasting live at Hen House. 119th and Row, come on down, say hello, get stocked up for the weekend, whatever you need. It is here, plus great tickets to the Golden Gloves Boxing while they last here at Hen House. Dr. Shan Zinger was our guest this morning. We had to tape for scheduling reasons this morning. Dr. Zinger joining us back at our studios, which you'll know right away because my voice was even worse then. So I appreciate Dr. Zinger's patience with my voice. Number of things we covered. One, the FBI investigation. That's coming up a little. That's coming up later, a third part of the interview. We talk about where the football program is, what the expectations are, and where he sits with the Kansas administration and fan base. You know, it's obviously becoming a controversial topic, Dr. Zinger. We'll get to that. But first of all, big news for Kansas when it comes to building a top-tier football program, and that is facilities. We know facilities are important. And they have been working on those facilities, working on starting those facilities. They just put a shovel in the ground, did the Kansas Athletic Department. Hundreds of millions of dollars they're looking for from the alumni. Started out by talking to Dr. Zinger about where they stand right now and how exciting it is to see real work, real shovel in the ground going on there in Lawrence.
You know, it's a true highlight, and I've had the opportunity in my life, both at this school and another prior to this, to build a lot of, be a part of a lot of projects. One thing you find in higher education is it takes days and weeks and months to get to the point where you put a shovel in the ground. Right. So if you say, we're going to start on this tomorrow, tomorrow means a lot of bureaucracy just to the point where the shovel goes in the ground. So last night I dropped my son off somewhere doing something near campus. He's a high school student, and then went back and drove around the footprint of where the indoor facility is going to be, and it's massive. You know, we had a choice. Do you start on the south end zone of the stadium, or do you start on the indoor facility? And while politically for administrators, the south end zone might have been the way to go. But if your real target audience is your student athletes, your football players, you need to give them every opportunity to be successful. And with this facility, we feel like we will have given them everything in the last handful of years that we can possibly give them to be successful.
In the release, I saw a lot of the list of things that have already been done, right? Yeah. This is like, I mean, it's bigger than all of that combined, right? But it's all important in building up to it. In what I call an arms race of recruiting. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, bigger than that in that it involves football. Right. You know, in terms of cost, you know, track stadiums, soccer stadiums, softball stadiums, those things cost an awful lot as well.
Okay.
And we've used different strategies by which to be able to build all these different things that are on that list. For me and for the staff and for the football players, this was really the culmination of years and years of planning to get to this state. We had to clear the deck with these other things to get to this point where it's all hands on deck, focused on football. And
And that's what this part is. And is it all paid for? Like, we hear the funding. We heard about David Boos, very generous donation. Does that mean that we're done and there's no more fundraising, or is it an ongoing process?
We will always fundraise.
Right.
We have the money in the bank to pay for the indoor. That's done. However, we are still, there are people who would like to give money toward that project to put their name on certain pieces of it. So, no, we will continue to fundraise even on that project. When you have a vision as we have for what we need to accomplish in the next handful of years or however long it takes to touch all pieces of that stadium, we'll always be in the fundraising mode. Always.
Yeah. So, how where are you as far as getting to the total dollars?
That's something that you don't put out there when you're in a project like this until you get to a certain point. Okay. We have a lot of asks out there right now. We've made further progress faster than we thought.
Okay.
But you want to keep people hungry.
Sure.
So that can hurt you if you start throwing numbers out there that people back up.
Oh, you don't need my money. You've already got this much. So let me ask you a question. How do you go ask a guy for $1 million, $10 million, $50 million? You have some very wealthy alumni. How does that conversation go?
You just do it.
Are there a couple of cocktails, dinner and cocktails, and then you drop them, or do you walk right in the door and say, this is what we're looking for?
You know, Saran, there's...
Because I'd like to do it once.
There's when you do this for a living, it becomes part of what you do.
Okay.
And I've heard that three things that people fear the most, one is death. Right. Two is public speaking, and three is asking for money. And in this job, you live the second two, and hopefully don't get the first one for a while.
Right.
But it's just part of what you do every day. And every individual, every family is different. Some, they tell you what they want to do before you even ask. Some, it's a lengthier process. Some, it's they want to get it done and get it done quick. And so the ask just falls right out of your mouth. It's not unlike, and pardon the metaphor, but when you're younger, not always when you're younger, but a dating relationship. Okay. Every relationship's different.
Yeah, no, that's fair. How important is this? I mean, you mentioned we've done a lot of other things. This is football. How important is it to get this done for the future of Kansas athletics as a whole?
You know, regardless of who is in this chair or any other chair in our university, it's imminent that we continue to show progress and commitment to football. We all know the relevance of football and basketball right now in the world of college athletics, and you better be paying attention to both. And just like all of our sports, if you're not giving your student athletes the right place to live, dress, eat, practice, compete, you're doing them a disservice. You're tying one hand behind their back.
A lot of people have said that this is, or maybe even part of the campaign is, when the Big 12 grant of rights come up for the TV, there may be another shift in college athletics, right? We've seen teams leave the Big 12. How much of this is to make sure that, I assume everybody's goal is the Big 12 continues. Yeah. But if it doesn't, how much of this is to make sure that you are a viable entity if everybody does? If Texas leaves or OU leaves, how much of this is we have to be ready for 25?
So I'll answer that in two ways. One, that's one of those, I will call it almost an urban legend that's grown legs that's beyond what it really ought to be. And so first I'll address the Big 12 is as solid as any conference in the nation. I think people have seen that in the last couple of years. We're Midwesterners. Even those in Texas, we tend to hide our candle under a bushel. When we start talking about the revenue we actually receive and how that ranks in the Power 5 conferences, I think that discussion went away for the most part. Also, what you've seen out of our programs in both basketball and football in the recent years, I think that discussion's gone away, and that focus has gone toward other conferences that maybe have struggled in some of those areas, whether it be compensation, revenue, football, basketball at the elite level.
But it is real. You haven't kept up with the Joneses on football.
No, now let's talk about KU. I was talking about the league.
Right.
You know, is it KU, we have to show commitment, both on the field of play and in the facilities. And there's the chicken and the egg going there. We've seen other programs, what happened at Oklahoma State and TCU when they invested in their programs, at Kansas State years ago when they invested in their facilities. It's again, what it's chicken or the egg. And you need to have both of them moving.
All right, so this is phase one, the practice facility. What is phase two? When does phase two begin?
Phase two is the south end zone.
Okay.
And phase two, we would like to be after the season next year.
This year or after next, the 19 season?
After this next season.
Okay. After
however,
18 season,
as we've learned with bureaucracy and higher education and so getting all your numbers in order, if we had to pause and wait a few more months, might have to do that. We will never outspend what we can handle in our yearly budget.
Okay.
And we have to be able to handle whether it be the capital gifts and those be able to cover the fees or whatever we're doing in our yearly budget. You just have to live within your.
Does every school work that way?
I believe so. Those that are prudent.
Are there schools that run out? I'm not asking you to name them, but you know, some people would say, "Hey, build it and they will come." Like whatever it takes, let's do it. Let's fund it however we can. Mm-hmm. And let's make it go. That's not.
I don't.
Is that
know.
A practical model?
No. And in our society today, that's playing with fire. And without throwing stones at other schools, there's one out there that's really struggling and suffering from having done that. And I don't know what the future holds for them,
right?
In terms of an entity overall. And so that's just not something you do in Kansas.
Okay. Okay. So you what? Whenever it's built, there'll be no. You go when you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we can watch for that, but hopefully. End of this year.
That would be the goal.
Okay. And how long will that take?
In order to build that.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we have our architects and engineers constantly working on that and projecting what that would be. You would like to be able to do things between the end of a season and the beginning of the next season. Now, if you look at other schools, i.e. TCU and others, there are times they have some hangnails and some things that hang over through a season, and there's certain seats they can't use or suites they can't use, and that just happens, and you work around it.
We saw it at Oklahoma State, right,
mm-hmm.
where you'd
mm-hmm.
see the structures and all that. We'll see that with Kansas then.
Absolutely.
What will the capacity be on the building when the plan's all done?
You know, it will, as we add a south end zone, the capacity will go up a little bit. And then as we move through the west side and the other parts of the stadium, that can grow or diminish. We're not real concerned in this day and age. We're learning
right.
It's more about the quality experience. Look at Sporting Kansas City. It's
yes.
more about the quality experience. You're fighting people who can stay home and watch a lot of ball games on TV with a refrigerator next door.
Right.
And other things that they enjoy. Their handheld devices, et cetera, et cetera. You need to be able to give them those experiences in your in-house setting if you want to compete with that.
It's about the premium seating.
It really
right?
is.
Yeah, and that's where it is. We're talking to Dr. Zenger here in the program, athletic director at Kansas. You got to win, right? To really get people inspired and going about Kansas football, you got to win. Do you feel like you're moving in that direction?
Absolutely. And we hired a coach a number of years ago and gave him our full support and have given him and his staff and the student athletes, the football players, whatever they've asked for.
Okay.
While they've been trying to rebuild, as you know, a depleted roster, we believe those things are moving in the right direction.
You said full support. Your full support. That's the athletic department, right?
Yes.
Have you always had the school's full support? Has there always been a commitment to football from, say, the highest level, right? Because sports is one entity. Education is the main part. But you got to make a commitment. I'll be specific, and I'm putting you on the spot here. But, you know, there's a lot of people that said, I've been told, you were not allowed to, when you made the change and went with, made the first coaching change when Turner Gill was replaced and Charlie Weiss was brought in, that part of the reason Charlie Weiss was the guy was because you had no buyout money. There had been so much money spent in the past. And I think that was very early in your tenure, right? First five or
yes.
six months
yes.
in your tenure. There was a lot of money spent in the past, and there was to be no money spent on getting, like, buying a coach out from another school. That's what those buyouts are. The university that's hiring him has to go write a check to the other university mm-hmm. to get him. I was told that you couldn't do that. That was part of the reason why Charlie Weiss was one of the candidates. First of all, is that true?
You know, I would say that I've always felt we had support at all levels. You know, the longer you are somewhere, certain things leak out and this and that. And I would, you know, I'm not someone who looks in the rearview mirror and talks about things that have happened. I guess I would say there were some limitations on what was able to do or not do.
Limitations. Okay. You're comfortable with limitations. All right, I'll leave it at that. So But do you have those limitations now? Like that's the thing is, because you talk about being fiscally responsible about building the stadium. That's great. But there's a fiscal responsibility to winning, too. Mm-hmm. And people may not like it, right? Mm-hmm. You may not like it if you say, we got to go write a check. Do you feel you have the universities? Because Kansas has always been a basketball school. And I remember Al Bohl, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Al Bohl or not, but he was the athletic director. And I remember him. I got the vibe, like, he had been told, go do whatever it takes for football. And then when he stepped on toes in basketball, everybody went, whoa, right? You can be in on football. And I think you can be in on football and not upset basketball, right? I think you can do both.
Agreed.
But to do both, you have to have a full commitment from the university, right? If somebody comes after your basketball coach and says, we're going to give him a raise, you got to be willing to match that. It can't be, no, we gave our money over here to the football coach. And likewise, if you're paying a basketball coach and it costs X, David Beatty wins 10 games this year, and you want to give him a five-year extension, they're going to have to write a check. You feel you've got that.
Absolutely. Right now, I feel like from central administration, athletic administration, endowment, and alumni association, we've got all hands on deck.
And how vital is that to winning?
Incredibly important.
Okay. But so you have the full financial support of the university now. You had limitations. Those limitations are gone.
As long as we dot our I's, cross our T's, and are prudent with what we have.
Right. All right. Yeah, you can't just be throwing money out the window. I get that. What about wins on the field? Is there a number that has to be? You know, that's how fans judge it.
Yeah.
Right? And we've talked before about you want to see certain levels of progress. Fans want to see a number, right? How many are we going to win? How many do you think we're going to win? 3 games, 4 games, 5 games, 6. Do you have a win total that Coach Beatty needs to be at?
You know that's a loaded question, Seren. We joke about that.
Yes. It's one I have to ask.
You have to ask it.
Yes.
I don't think there's an AD in the country who would ever put a number out there,
right,
especially not one that's coached before. You just don't do that to your coaches in any sport. The best answer is you'll know it when you see it. Our fans, our donors, our stakeholders, you, I will be able to see if there's improvement. And I think that's what people are looking for.
Right.
Do there need to be wins? Yes, there do.
Okay.
What that number is, I don't know. It's possible to have more wins and not look as competitive, I'm talking figuratively here,
right,
or have fewer wins and look better overall throughout the whole season. It's kind of like baking a cake. You don't know until that thing's done exactly what you have.
You mentioned the full support of the administration and the school. There are some people that'll say, hey, Dr. Zenger's hired 2 coaches and we're not winning. He's not the right guy. We need to look someplace else. Do you feel you've got the support of the fans? Do you feel that you're going in the right direction? And I mean, how do you react when you hear that kind of thing?
Well, one, I'm a big boy, and I would tell you this, Seren. Anytime, if you're taking on a leadership role in our society today with the world of social media and all that we have going on, just I'm not comparing myself to national leaders.
Right.
But I turn on the nightly news, and what you see going on in our public discourse, that's just part of being a leader today. And if you can't put on your big boy pants, then don't step up into these jobs because it's coming. Criticism, praise, et cetera, et cetera. I grew up being taught you accept blame, deflect credit. And maybe sometimes I do too much of that personally because that's how I believe you're raised. I was a quarterback in sports. I was a catcher in baseball. Those are positions where you learn to shoulder responsibility and put your head down and go. You know, so the answer to that is I've done the best possibly can with the resources we've had. We've supported all of our programs, but football, I can't think of a time I said no to them
right,
in terms of support with facilities, funding, et cetera, et cetera. And as an AD, there's only so much you can do. Now, I'm willing to do all I can and do more if
right,
that means working 25 hours a day.
Right.
So I don't know if that answers all your question.
It does. You're confident in the direction you're going is going to get people to where they want to be. They want to be back to the Mark Mangino days, right? You knew Mark.
Yep.
That's. I even have people say, why don't you go hire Mark Mangino, right? That was a time that I think people got spoiled, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things went on when the change was made, but you're confident that you're headed in that direction.
Yes, and when you talk about Mark, you look back, and I think one thing that happens in a lot of universities, high schools and pros for that matter, when you have a winning coach, you start to take for granted that it's not just him. It's all these administrators start thinking it's them and fans and donors. And at the end of the day, when you have a winning coach, you better do everything you have to hold on to that person. Because some people just have it. And Mark did an incredible job at Kansas with a hard job and got it to where it needed to be. Since then, we've struggled. There are a number of things that happened in him leaving that as you start losing scholarships, scholarship players, et cetera, and that's a whole nother conversation. But, yes, when we hired Coach Beatty, I remember a lot of media saying, hey, this coach needs 5 years to see what he can really get done. Talking about it and living through it are two different things. And
ask Royals fans about that right now.
Yes.
And we need to tank. We need to tank. And then I get complaints about the team.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. You mentioned the scholarships. Where are you on the number of scholarships?
We're in the low to mid-60s.
Okay.
And it will take another couple of years to get up toward 80, 85. And I hesitate saying 85 because I don't know that there's a program in the country that has the full 85 because young people transfer so much now.
Right.
And it hurts programs when they do it, but at the same time, if you look at how youth sports functions today and how often young people transfer, even within high schools, they want to play.
Right.
Especially, I'm just using point guards and quarterbacks.
Sure.
They don't go to school to sit on the bench.
Right.
And so you see quarterbacks transfer all the time. Now they try to find a spot, big school, small school, medium school, whatever, where they can actually play.
And so in a couple of years, you think you'll be at that scholarship number, though?
Yeah, we'll be bumping up against that. I really believe that.
And that is important to compete?
Yes.
A vital part of the process.
You know, and you've probably talked about this ad nauseum. You know, if you're playing FBS football, you have 85 full scholarships. If you're playing FCS football, this is the old 1A, 1AA.
Right.
You have 63 scholarships that you divide up over 95 players. Well, we're in a situation where we have 63 to 65 scholarships, and we can't divide them up.
Right.
So we're in a unique category there of
Does there need to be change to that rule?
You know, where there needs to be change is, and we've put forth legislation, I know that Coach Snyder did this years ago in Manhattan, when a program gets down in numbers, there needs to be the ability to exceed 25 initials in any given year. I don't know what it serves the membership, which is how the NCAA refers to us, to when a program gets down to make it be such a slow growth process. I think with some of the rules that are being talked about in the future, you're going to see that happen to some of the really strong programs, and then you'll see rules changes. Because when a program gets down, the scholarship restructuring takes too long.
But in a sense, part of the reason to stay the course is to get that scholarship number up. Because you can't, if you change coaches, you're going to lose players.
That goes without saying. It happens every time.
Okay. So some people would say David Beatty's got a free pass for two more years. Is that?
You know, I think even David Beatty probably wouldn't like that phrase. We all want to work for what we have.
Right.
And so he just needs to keep dotting the I's, crossing the T's, working hard, recruiting his best, and putting the best foot forward every day.
All right, that is Shane Zinger, the athletic director of the Kansas Jayhawks. Conversation we recorded this morning, as clearly my voice doing a little bit better right now. Appreciate the time from Dr. Zinger, athletic director with the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll take a break, come back. In our next segment, we get into the very latest, if any, information on the FBI and Kansas being named in the report as a victim. Do they like the term victim? Are they comfortable with that term? We'll talk about that next with the athletic director from Kansas, Shane Zinger. Welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We are live at Hen House, 119th and Rose, where we are located. Come on down, grab yourself some lunch. The Delicatessen, always a great option for your lunch or dinner if you're taking it home on your way home from work. And, of course, the salad bar, the Mongolian Grill, absolutely fantastic. You can do some shopping as well. I got Golden Glove tickets. First person to come by and say they want to go see the Golden Gloves tonight, tomorrow, or Saturday. I believe we got all tickets available right now, but they are going fast. Grab them if you can. Here, the Golden Gloves, Kansas City's championships. Longest-running sporting event in Kansas City. It's at Memorial Hall the next three nights, so you can get those tickets right now. We're talking to Dr. Shane Zinger. Conversation I recorded this morning with Dr. Zinger, and we mentioned we'd get into the FBI investigation, and what I wanted to know was whether or not that information has been given to Shane Zinger first, or do they come to the university and hand that report over, or just what exactly does he know? Is it just like us, what he's read in the paper?
We have limitations,
okay.
Just as others would. You know, I think, Sren, the most important thing for people to know is, and there's been plenty written about this in the last few days or weeks, you know, Coach Self and I both don't like the word victim.
That's, you don't, because I had a guy on Pat Forty yesterday who wrote a piece several days ago, and that was his big thing. Kansas calling themselves the victim.
Well, there's when you come out with your initial comments, you have to reflect what's in the report. Okay,
right.
And that's the word, that's the legal word they use.
Yes, so, you have a plaintiff, you have a victim, yes.
But I think people know Coach Self well enough, and hopefully they know me. That's not how we're brought up, that's not who we are. We don't run around ever wanting to be the victim, the martyr, the this, the that. I think what's most important in that report is the line that talks about efforts were made by the, I guess, conspirators to conceal this information from Kansas. I don't know that you see that in other reports.
Okay.
And we take great pride in our compliance office and how we go about doing things. We review our recruiting every year with great scrutiny. We doubled down on it once the reports came out in September about other schools, and feel very comfortable about our coaches and have great faith in them and how they go about doing their work. And so, having said that, that's something that I think gives, I would hope would give KU stakeholders a reason to feel confident.
If somebody is declared ineligible, if somebody on the right, and I won't name names, but if somebody is, what's the process for that? If you know, KU had nothing to do with it, you know, did not know of this, but a shoe company or an agent gave money to one of your players, what happens as we move forward?
You know, that's Brave New World. No one's ever seen this before, so we don't know what that would look like. I'm looking back at other situations that have happened in the past in both football and basketball. And if the institution didn't know and the student-athlete didn't know, I don't know how you can penalize that individual or that institution. That's just me looking in the rearview mirror at what's happened in the past. And you know the names of people who've been involved in those situations.
So you don't think Kansas is, assuming that what we know to this point, that there was no knowledge of anybody on the staff, Kansas is not at risk of losing wins, of losing the 14th conference banner, the Final Four banner. You don't think that the university is at risk?
I just don't see how that lines up. If no one had any information, had no knowledge, and I understand why people would talk about that, and you know you can't live in this world of who was the general said take no counsel of your fears.
Okay.
That's
okay. So we'll cross that bridge that hopefully you never get to, right?
Correct.
Does there need to be change to college basketball? I'm kind of the opinion that. Listen, you guys, I do believe, and I know how, and I've heard, and I've talked to people, how much you put into the compliance part of things. And hopefully every university does that, and I know that's one of the things you have to do. Problems arise. It's a flawed system, okay? My opinion, my words, not yours, my words. But does change, I find it hard to believe that anybody is sitting in Lawrence that has anything to do with your basketball program and is stunned that somebody got money from a shoe company, or that an agent. We know it. We've known it for years. It's happened. It's this, the whoa, boy, look out. The whole big fear thing that came down with it. Every major program's going to get it. That's different than when we heard this player got money from this agent. It sounds kind of like an isolated situation. The way this was presented was the entire industry is corrupt. Is the entire industry corrupt? Does it need change?
Well, just look at some of the things you just said, Seren. You're aware of some things out there. We have a systemic problem within the global macro level of college basketball. And things need to be changed. Coaches have been talking about this and asking for it for years, as have ADs. However, we're shielded from knowing exactly all the things that go on. And so somehow, some way...
Shielded by choice or shielded by... You know, the don't ask, don't tell is what I'm getting
correct.
At.
Correct. Like, I know you're asking that, but look at the line in that report. Things were concealed from the University of Kansas.
That's, fair enough.
Having said that, the whole industry needs help.
Okay.
And you know, it's so easy to pile on the NCAA and say they need to fix it. And then they turn and say, well, we are the membership. They don't have the power to address this in the past. And so...
When does somebody bring the NBA into this? Because it's their rule that forces kids to wait a year before they go play. And there are kids. Josh Jackson was good enough to go straight to the pros. He went to Kansas. They're forced to wait. How much? It seems to me like the universities seem like a good idea. Hey, let's make them come through the school. Seem like we're getting these talent. At least we get them for a year as opposed to going straight to the NBA. But if it's going to be amateur basketball, why didn't the NBA have to, one, get rid of that rule, and two, provide a place for kids to play? And I'm not saying just their league, a real minor league, right? And maybe two levels of a minor league so that a kid that really has no interest in being on campus, which we know there are many kids that are like that, that is good enough or thinks they're good enough. At some point in this country, you got to make choices as an adult. Put it at 18, right? 18 years old. If you're 17, you can't go. But 18, you can vote. You can die for this country. There's a lot of things you can do at 18. Then at that point, you know, the NBA should be providing a place. I hear people say, well, they can go overseas. I don't want my – I'd be like, apply it to your daughter is an engineering student, and she's done. She tests out. She's brilliant. She's ready to go at 18 years old, and they say, but you can't go get a job. But you can go work in Latvia, right, for a year. I don't want to send my daughter to Latvia, right? I get that opportunity is there, and for the Ball family, and a select few. Manuel Mudiay went to China. That's an option, but that sucks, okay? And that shouldn't be that way. When do the universities rise up and go say, the NBA's got to do their part?
You know, to my knowledge, we've been asking for years for help on this, and I can't speak for an entity such as that. For some reason, it's something that they have not seen their way through in recent years. I have heard rumblings. You've read quotes from upper officials in their organization that talk about maybe changing that. Probably the sooner the better. If you look at different institutions, we all handle those. The institutions who are able to attract the one-and-doners do it differently. Coach Self balances it with young people who are going to be here longer. Another school that we're a rival of takes as many as they can get and tends to have the highs and lows at greater consequence than we do. I think that Coach balances it really well. That doesn't mean that the system doesn't need to change. But as long as that's the system, and you're a school such as Kansas, Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, et cetera, you have to find a way to live within it.
Condoleezza Rice is going to release. She's the head of the committee that's evaluating college basketball. I hear people that are really excited to hear what they have to say, and other people saying, like Jay Billis was quoted in an online piece I read about he's hearing they're not going to address this, 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 and this, right? It's all rumors. How optimistic are you that we're going to get any real solution out of that committee?
You know, I've always been a fan of Condoleezza Rice. I don't know her personally. I know that she was most recently involved with the college football playoff committee, right, and functioned very well there. So that gives me hope that she's someone who's more of a doer than a just talk about it. Having said that, I don't know. You know, I read Jay's piece as well. And when I read that if they don't have the power to do some of those things, then it, again, you're back to the word limitations.
Right.
And that I hope that's not the case.
She's also a member of Augusta National. Right? Wouldn't she? She's the first female member there. So, I mean, you know, she's got a lot. She's got a nice resume.
Yeah.
And a lot of things going there. All right. So when do you think, do you have any idea? We're all wondering, you know, is this a slow drip that's going to go on for years and hang as a cloud over college basketball for the next several years, or are we getting to the end of this cycle? Do you have any more information than we do?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Again, I use the Brave New World.
Want to guess on when it'll be done?
No.
Throw a dart?
Can't even do that.
Okay. I have no idea. I'm hoping sooner rather than later, because I'd like to believe that our college basketball is not as corrupt as people were trying to say when it first got going. We're talking to Dr. Shane Zinger here, the athletic director for the Kansas Jayhawks. Dr. Zinger, my final four quickies for you.
These are always good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, I'll try. That's pressure, though. We'll start with this. We're at a grocery store, paper or plastic? Which are you when you check out?
Plastic.
Plastic? Okay. You recycle them?
We use them with the dogs, if you know what that means.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, wonderful. That works. Yes, very nice. You don't have to have the fancy blue bags. Yeah, I like that. Well done. And I appreciate you picking up after the dogs.
You got to do
that.
There
are people in the neighborhoods who don't. Drives me crazy. That's the worst. All right. What's your fastball? Just curious, because the Royals need a starter.
I can actually give you an answer here that you wouldn't expect. But my son's a pitcher. I catch for him twice a week. And you know what I've learned? Having been an option quarterback and then coaching for so long throwing footballs, I have a really hard time throwing that small ball with any velocity. Give me a football, I can still throw it decently. I'd probably come across like a daggum knuckleballer or something.
Okay.
Just Can't grip it anymore.
I'll put not an option, right? Because that's what we were getting to is whether or not you could actually start the game for the Royals. So it looks like that is not going to be an option for the club. All right, the Big 12 is or is not in existence in 10 years?
Absolutely is.
It is? Yes? No doubt whatsoever. There was no hesitation. No. Is that just the answer you're supposed to give?
No, I believe that in my heart. And I'll go a little further. I think we as Midwesterners, again, I go back to keeping our candle under the bushel too much. Folks, we can't let the coastal media pile on us all the time. This country needs and deserves a strong Midwestern conference, and that's what the Big 12 is.
Right.
Fight for it. Don't just go be lemmings and follow what people say who live on the coast, who don't want it to be. We need to rise up and say, no, this is us. This is who we are. We deserve it. And it's a darn good league. It's a great league.
I know I said quickies, but can you instill that approach to all your other league members?
Yeah. I wish you could be at our Big 12 meetings.
Because there's one guy, he's not in position anymore. I won't ask you to name names. There's one guy who all he did was spout about how bad it is.
I think that day passed.
Okay. So you feel like it's
I would revert to my old nature and say, everyone just needs to get in a 3-point stance.
Okay.
And come out of the blocks.
Okay, yeah. All right, I got it. And finally, we get a couple of choices here for lunch, many with the delicatessen, but salad bar or Mongolian grill? Which way would you go?
Man, I'm not going to the salad bar, but I'm going to barbecue. I'm not even going Mongolian grill, okay?
Yeah, okay. we'll let you do that. Dr. Zenger, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you.